Pentecost was one of the well-established festivals of the Old Testament. Remember, there were three special festivals at which the children of Israel, and especially the males, were together in Jerusalem to worship and praise the Lord for his blessings to them. One was Passover, one was Sukkoth, or the Feast of Booths, and the third one, which I guess really was the second one, was Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. It was also called the Feast of the Ingathering, the Feast of Harvest. So this was a time of celebration. You can imagine how excited the people were and to come together to praise God. Pentecost means 50th. Pentecost, of those three feasts, Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover. So now, with the Christian Pentecost, as we just heard of, read in Acts chapter 2, this 50th took on a whole different meaning. Now it's going to be 50 days after the resurrection, so approximately 50 days ago that we celebrated Easter. Lots of people, as they had gathered for Passover, likely would have heard of the crucifixion of this prophet, Jesus of Nazareth. Many of them probably heard even stories that he had risen from the dead, but many of them had probably forgotten. And so it was that now, as they gathered together to celebrate Pentecost, some of them were probably also waiting for something else to happen because of the promises that had been made. Joel had prophesied centuries before the coming of the Spirit. John the Baptist, a couple of years before, had talked about the Spirit coming. Jesus, just a couple of weeks ago, had talked about the coming of the Spirit. And now, on this Pentecost, it happened. What a unique, what an exciting time that had to have been for the disciples, for the people gathered together to hear the sound of the mighty rushing wind, and then to see on the disciples flames of fire on their heads, and then to hear them speaking the message of God, but in many different languages, languages that they had never heard, that the disciples had never learned. The people coming from various places then could hear that message. All the working of the Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? For some people, maybe just kind of an oblong blur. But this morning, we'll give you a test. Well, maybe we'll just give you a quiz. How many things, could you name seven things about God the Father? And as you think about it, might not be so very difficult. How about 10 things about God the Son? Probably even easier. How many things could you name about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit didn't just come here at this Christian Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, equal with the Father and the Son. It's always been that way. And so as we read the story of creation, we see God the Father, we see God the Son as the Word being spoken, but we also then read about the Holy Spirit who was there hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit who was the breath that came into Adam. The Holy Spirit, the one who gives life, who changes lives. The Holy Spirit, we hear that he filled Moses, he filled Elijah to be saying great things, to be doing great things in the name of the Lord and for the good of his people. We also read that when Moses had died and now Joshua is going to be taking over, that the Spirit had filled Joshua as he would lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Timid Gideon was also filled with the Spirit to do special things for God, as was, might surprise us, even Samson, filled with the Spirit to do powerful things for God's people. And so the Holy Spirit was there throughout the Old Testament. We hear of Peter saying, you know what, it was holy men of God moved by the Holy Spirit that had written the scriptures. And so as we read through the book of Isaiah, through the book of Jeremiah, through the book of Ezekiel, we see the Spirit over and over and over at work among God's people. Jesus had often spoken about the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, the Spirit is mentioned 75 times. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, Paul talks about the Spirit many times over, of the great things that the Spirit was doing among the people. Interesting thing that he mentions is that the Holy Spirit takes the prayers of God's people, the prayers that we're not quite sure even how to put those words into a good sentence. And he said, you know, the Holy Spirit makes that into a prayer, and he's even interceding for us. Yes, for the people of God in the early church, they recognized the working of the Spirit. And so as Peter or the others would do the preaching and thousands of people would come to believe in the Lord Jesus, they could say, that's the Spirit. And as they would see the great love that they went out to serve other people again, that's the Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God was the one that was moving them to do these special things in the name of the Lord. How about for us? Can we say that also of us? That's the Spirit. Do you have the Spirit? Of course you do. It came in the baptism. St. Paul says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul also says that we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So as you look at your own life in connection with that fruit of the Spirit, do you see it at work as you interact with other people? Or is it a matter of, maybe I need to turn to the Spirit to have him give me more of this fruit or of that fruit? The fruit of the Spirit led the people to recognize the great message of Scripture, to remember it, to understand it. The message, certainly, of sin, and we see that in our own lives, not just in the world out there, but even in us. But then to hear that great message of the Lord Jesus coming to die on the cross, to take on the sins of everyone, to offer complete forgiveness. And then as he rose from the dead and gives us the assurance, yes, it is truly finished. Yes, there's life even beyond the grave through faith in Jesus. And so as we gather together today to worship the Lord, but now as the summer season comes upon us, and maybe the temptation is there to not be as faithful in terms of worshiping the Lord, to not be as faithful in terms of hearing his word or reading his word or meditating upon it. But we also recognize that the Holy Spirit works through that word. And St. Paul concerns for us, warns us, don't quench the Spirit. Don't keep him from being active and involved in your life. As you go forth in faith, as you go forth to love, as you are in fire with the Holy Spirit, The early Christians, we think of the disciples and others, had been timid. But then as they were filled with the Spirit, we marvel at how bold they were. Pleased to go and share this message with whomever, no matter what would happen to them, even as they were thrown into prison. Because they had a message to tell, the Spirit was in them. And so today, don't we marvel at Christians in other nations, nations that are opposed to anything Christian, ready to beat up anybody who claims to be a Christian, to put them in prison, maybe even to put them to death. And yet, they're willing, even as they come out of prison from that persecution, to go and preach it some more. All that others can hear, all that the Spirit can do His work. And people who come to faith, even though they know they'll be ostracized from their families, yet are pleased to say, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. And so as that tongue of fire on the heads of the disciples, we say, wow, if only we had that fire of the Holy Spirit going on in the world today. Will we let that be happening in us? To have that fire of love, of faith, of commitment. Interesting that they could speak in languages that they had never heard. And can you imagine how thrilled the people who came from, all those other countries that we heard him reading about, to hear that message in their own language. And even today, we hear of people in lots of different languages. When they finally have the Bible in their language, how they rejoice that now I can read what God says right to my heart. And so we as a church body, and certainly as a congregation, want to be supporting Christian missions throughout the world. Certainly we rejoice that we have Lutheran Bible translators and can be supporting them as they translate the Bible into many of those various languages. Or Lutheran Heritage Foundation to be providing books that we cherish, catechisms, Bibles, Bible story books into many of those different languages. The Lutheran Hour going out throughout the world. And even in our own area, Pablo, people of the book Lutheran Outreach, reaching out to Arabs, reaching out to people from Japan, from China, Spanish-speaking people. Yes, we treasure the Holy Spirit and what He does in our lives, but let's also treasure what He can do through us for yet other people. That's the Spirit. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your lives in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.